Hello, Dr. Doug here. Today, talking to you on our latest podcast about low T or low testosterone, a topic that remains very interesting to many people and I think becomes a bigger issue come football season time because there's so many darn advertisements about testosterone and low T that it's hard to avoid hearing about it. And I think it has been a very effective marketing campaign by the testosterone manufacturers to attempt to educate people, which is good, but also it creates a sense of a need to check testosterone and a concern that maybe testosterone levels are inadequate in a person and that they need to be monitored and treated. And just to talk about testosterone a bit, testosterone is male hormone, if you will. It is the predominant hormone in men that influences sexual function, sexual development, and ultimately sexual thoughts or sex drive, which is libido. And low testosterone is actually fairly uncommon to have extremely low testosterone, such that you're virtually lacking in testosterone. So I want to make a distinction here between the low T that they're talking about in these advertisements and true low testosterone. So there are two kinds of low testosterone. One is where a person has absolutely, a man has absolutely no testosterone or virtually none. And those are very unusual situations. They're fairly uncommon. They're due to specific health conditions, always. And that would be health conditions that affect either the gonads or the testicles, health conditions that affect the adrenal glands, or health conditions that affect the pituitary gland. These are the three glands that are responsible for making testosterone or influencing testosterone production in men. So we're talking about extremely low levels, levels that are near zero. And the distinguishing feature of people who have extremely low levels of testosterone or extremely low T are that they have virtually no hair growth whatsoever. That is, they're not shaving. They notice a big change in any hair growth on their body. That's number one. And number two, they have essentially no sex drive or sex interest because they don't have any sexual thoughts. And in those people, believe it or not, the men do not notice that they're lacking in libido or sex drive because they don't care about their sex drive. That's how low their testosterone levels are. So it's not like they have a sex drive, it's low, and they're like, gosh, I wish my sex drive was better. It's like, they're like, I don't have a sex drive. I don't care that I don't have a sex drive. It doesn't matter to me. And invariably, these patients come to our attention because either the wife or the girlfriend says, he doesn't have any sex drive whatsoever. He doesn't have any sexual interest. That is a very unusual situation for a man and almost guarantees that a person will have extremely low testosterone. That's if they have no sex drive whatsoever. Now, I want to distinguish that from a sex drive which is not apparent to a woman or a wife or a girlfriend, and that's because the man may have sexual thoughts or sexual activity but is not sharing that with their partner. As a result, it appears that they have no sex drive, but they in fact do. It's just being hidden. So that's a bit more of a psychological condition that we're talking about, but I don't want to go there. I want to talk about the low testosterone, and in that situation, the one we're talking about, extremely low T, this is a health condition that requires a thorough evaluation either by an internist like myself or an endocrinologist. Generally, we even need help from the hormone specialist or the endocrinologist to really determine the exact cause of very low testosterone. Now, alternatively, there is low testosterone that is more of a border zone low testosterone or low T. And that's what these advertisements are basically focusing on. And they have a questionnaire called the ADAM questionnaire, the adult male questionnaire for testosterone level. And it's like a 7 or 8 questionnaire that you can find online on my website. You can also find online if you just search for the ADAM or ADAM questionnaire for testosterone. And in those cases, people are noticing decreased energy, irritability, poor sleep, a variety of what I would consider non-specific symptoms that may indicate a low testosterone. Generally, they don't, but they might. Now, how do we check for testosterone? We do a blood test. It's very simple. You can do it through actually a saliva test, but generally speaking, the standard way to do it is through a blood test in which we check the testosterone level and what's called the total and free testosterone. So we don't just check testosterone. We check the free testosterone, which is what's called the active testosterone. And this is very important because testosterone levels can be either low or high, but that doesn't guarantee what the levels of active testosterone are. So you must check the free testosterone if you really want to know whether a man has insufficient amounts of testosterone. Now, the levels for testosterone are extremely wide. For a man, they're like 150 to 850 or something like that. That's typical, very wide. And the free testosterone is like 35 to 125 or something like that. So these are extremely wide levels, which means that men vary throughout their lives. And men vary person to person how much testosterone they have. And a lot of times we have patients who have what I would call low normal testosterone. These people do not have low T. Men who have low normal testosterone have normal testosterone levels. Now, it may be inadequate for them. And there's a lot of argument by the researchers what constitutes an adequate testosterone level. But I do want to make that distinction that when somebody is below the normal levels, then I think there's an issue to address. When they're at the borderline low normal levels, then I think it's a question whether you address those issues. Now, how do we address the issues? Well, we look for causes for low testosterone, like I said, hormonal causes and otherwise. When diagnoses like diabetes, somebody who takes chronically pain medication, these are things that can suppress testosterone production. And so these are other possibilities to consider. But usually with true low testosterone, you need to check it. That is, even the borderline low testosterone, you need to check for other diseases that may be contributing. If you find something, then you treat it specifically, a thyroid condition, diabetes. If you don't find anything, then you can talk about treating the testosterone directly. And how can we do that? Well, first of all, pills are out of the question. There's no form of pill that can be taken by a man because testosterone pills are unhealthy for men because they go through the liver and they can cause liver damage. So there's no pill form of testosterone. So the only two ways to get testosterone are either through a topical cream or gel or through a shot. And the topical creams and gels, these are the ones that are being advertised on TV because they are extremely expensive. Typically, they cost on the order cash of $300 a month approximately. So this is $3,600 a year. Now, it may be covered by insurance. It may not be, but it's a very expensive proposition. Alternatively, men can get testosterone formulated at a local pharmacy like Potter's House Pharmacy or Avella or Civic Center or Camelback Village, some of the local pharmacies we have. And those testosterone creams are not quite as nice as far as just their application and the product themselves, but they can be effective, can achieve good testosterone levels, and are much cheaper, more on the order of $50 a month. So that's much more reasonable. The nice thing about the topicals is they give a very smooth level of testosterone because they're applied daily and they give a daily level. That's good. That's consistent. The negative of them is, of course, that they can get on somebody else. That is, you have to put them on parts of your body where you can't have somebody else touching them, particularly a woman or small child, because they could theoretically get the topical testosterone on themselves, and it could alter their hormone levels rather substantially. Women can't have much testosterone, so even a little bit is trouble. Same with children. You don't want to have early puberty in a young boy or problems with a girl who's touching a part of a body or who gets some of this topical testosterone on them. Alternative to that would be injections of testosterone, and we give that at the office. And you generally take a 200 milligram dose about every 2 to 3 weeks. And the good thing about this is it's fairly inexpensive. The negative is that you get varying testosterone levels, very high initially after the shot, and then they taper off as the body absorbs it over time. So that's the negative of the testosterone shots. But before we had the topicals, that's all we did was give testosterone shots. This does work. It is adequate, and it's much less expensive. Of course, a hybrid model would be maybe the under-the-skin preparations of testosterone that are given in plastic beads, and this is done by a place like Dr. Tutera, who does it as part of Sotopelli. And the advantage is that you get a constant amount. It's absorbed through the tissues under the skin. The negative is you have to have these plastic beads put into your skin. You can't reverse the process because the hormone levels will continue to deliver until they're depleted from the plastic beads, and just the process of injecting them under the skin vaccine and so forth, it's quite an expensive proposition. So that's another consideration, but not one that I generally recommend. So that's how you supplement the testosterone. And what do you do once you've supplemented? Well, you try and see if a person feels better. Does the man feel more energy, more sex drive, more vital, more capable? Of course, this can be influenced greatly by what we call the placebo effect, or the positive mental influence of thinking you're doing something for a condition. Whether it's truly affecting that condition directly or not, it can affect it psychologically. Now, of course, the placebo effect is a great effect. We love it. We want it to work. And if it makes a person feel good, that's a good thing. On the other hand, it's hard to sometimes differentiate that placebo effect from the real effect of the hormone, and one has to be conscious of this fact and really try and be objective as best one can to determine if the testosterone is really making a difference. So, my general take-home points about low T. Number one, it's not as common as you think. The advertisements would have you thinking it's very common. It isn't. Number two, extremely low T is a specific medical condition that does need a diagnosis and treatment. Now, the other kind of low T, which is marginal low T, that's more questionable whether it needs any kind of treatment. And typically, we try an empiric trial, meaning we try a trial of treatment, either with a topical or an injectable, to see if a person feels better. If they do, we continue on it. If they don't, we stop it. Usually we give it a few months to see what the person finds. We sometimes check blood levels to see that we're getting adequate results. Now, I will say that in my experience, I have not seen a lot of downside risk for testosterone supplementation, even if somebody doesn't really need it. And what would the downside risk be? Number one would be growth of the prostate gland. That would be one side effect. So some men can have problems with urination and urine flow because the prostate is stimulated to grow in a benign way. The other possibility, which I've absolutely never seen, is stimulation of a cancerous growth of prostate. There is concern that this could be the case, but it's very, very unlikely and does require just some general monitoring with the prostate exam, physical exam, the digital rectal exam, and a PSA being done at intervals at least once a year for a person on supplementation. Other side effects, you can see elevated blood counts. You can see alteration in cholesterol parameters. These things should be checked if a person's on medicine for an extended period, testosterone supplementation, that is, to make sure that you're not seeing any negatives there. So it does require monitoring. It does require a doctor's attention. And I do not recommend people go to any of these clinics on the corners that are popping up trying to give men improvements in their male hormones. This is not a good idea. I also don't recommend any of the oral supplementations that are done at the GNC or Whole Foods or whatever. These are not good ways to go to supplement testosterone. Better to get scientific information, know what your levels are, and treat it appropriately. So that's a lot of information about low T, most of which you don't need to worry about. But if you want more education, here you go. That's the information I have to share on our podcast. Take care. This has been Dr. Doug talking to you about low T.